Welcome to worship tonight. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time we can come together just to have this special quiet time with you and with each other. Please be with each one of us tonight that we may hear the special message that you have for each of us. In your Son's name, amen. Our scripture tonight comes from Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112, and this is the voice translation. Be at peace as you listen for the Holy One. Your word is a lamp for my steps. It lights the path before me. I have taken an oath and confirmed it. I pledge to do what you say is right and just. I have suffered terribly, O Eternal One. Give me the life you promised. Please accept the words I offer willingly, O Eternal One, and instruct me in the ways of your justice. My soul is continually in danger, but I do not forget your teachings. The wicked have laid a trap for me, but I have not drifted away from your instructions. Your decrees are forever mine, for they bring joy to my life. I have committed myself to do what you require forever and ever, to the very end. Allow God to direct you to a word or a phrase from the second reading. Your word is a lamp for my steps. It lights the path before me. I have taken an oath and confirmed it. I pledge to do what you say is right and just. I have suffered terribly, O Eternal One. Give me the life you promised. Please accept the words I offer willingly, O Eternal One, and instruct me in the ways of your justice. My soul is continually in danger, but I do not forget your teachings. The wicked have laid a trap for me, but I have not drifted away from your instructions. Your decrees are forever mine, for they bring joy to my life. I have committed myself to do what you require forever and ever to the very end. During the silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. And you may also come to the prayer bench to receive a prayer for yourself or another. For those wanting to give a tithe or an offering, you can do so when you come up to light a candle or for communion or when you leave the sanctuary. Your word is a lamp for my steps. It lights the path before me. I have taken an oath and confirmed it. I pledge to do what you say is right and just. I have suffered terribly, O Eternal One. Give me the life you promised. Please accept the words I offer willingly, O Eternal One, and instruct me in the ways of your justice. My soul is continually in danger, but I do not forget your teachings. The wicked have laid a trap for me, but I have not drifted away from your instructions. Your decrees are forever mine, for they bring joy to my life. I have committed myself to do what you require forever and ever to the very end. Our final reading. Your word is a lamp for my steps. It lights the path before me. I have taken an oath and confirmed it. I pledge to do what you say is right and just. I have suffered terribly, O Eternal One. Give me the life you promised. Please accept the words I offer willingly, O Eternal One, and instruct me in the ways of your justice. My soul is continually in danger, but I do not forget your teachings. The wicked have laid a trap for me, but I have not drifted away from your instructions. Your decrees are forever mine, for they bring joy to my life. I have committed myself to do what you require forever and ever to the very end. So tonight, I'm bringing one from the archives because it happened this time of year, 5 years ago. We went as a church a couple of times to the Abbey of the Genesee in New York, and we'd do a couple of nights of a silent retreat. And while we're at the Abbey, we're able to walk to the church that's nearby the house where we stayed. And we would participate in the monks where they pray the hours. And five times a day, they come together and they do chanting of the Psalms. It was really kind of cool to watch. And it was during one of those walks to the Abbey that God used that time to have a Bible verse kind of come to life. The monks, they don't stop at bedtime and then not pray until they wake up. Nope. They have a 2:25 a.m. prayer time, a.m. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go see that one. It's called Praying of the Vigils. And that first night I took it in. I can promise you the second night I didn't. But the first time I did, so I set my alarm for 2 in the morning and I headed out. It was about a 15 to 20 minute walk from our house into the Abbey. So I was alone because not a lot of people wanted to do that. So I was just alone in my walk for that. And it was super dark. I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere, so it kind of looked exactly like that. There was an amazing canvas of stars, and it's so dark out there with no light, and you can just see everything, clear sky. It was beautiful. And I thought, this is just this canvas that God just presented to me that I would have missed if I stayed in bed. And the walk with all the night sounds, and there were crickets, and I really don't know what else could have been out there because, it was dark. But it actually was really soothing to walk there in the dark. And I just kind of walked and soaked in all I could of this God's beauty. And it was super, super peaceful. So then when I arrived for the service, Ron Bakeman, who was with us, he was actually already there. And when the service ended, he and I, we walked back together, but alone, because it is a silent retreat and we were honoring each other's silence. So we were each in our own silence, kind of walking together, but we each had our own flashlight, and that's the only light that we had to guide us in the total darkness. And we don't walk on a street to get to the church. I guess you could, but why go that long, long way when you could take the shortcut through the woods? So little did I know that God was about to use Ron Bakeman to illustrate a story of God's guidance. So I kind of along the path going back, because it looked like that, all starry skied and all, I would just kind of pause and stop and look. And when I did that, all of a sudden, Ron ended up ahead of me several steps. And as he walked in front of me, lit only by his flashlight, all else was total darkness. It was just pitch black. So I turned my flashlight off. And then this is the image I saw. You can see that. That's all. It was pitch black everywhere around me, except Ron Bakeman's little tiny flashlight leading his way. So in that moment is when this Bible verse came to mind from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I'm like, oh, that kind of speaks. That story preaches. So I'm thinking, I always love that image of Scripture, because so often what do we want God to do is kind of show us the way using these really big stadium lights and huge neon signs so we can't miss it, right? Neon pointing arrows go this way, well lit, planned out, where we have absolutely no doubt which way to go. But in reality, it looks a little bit more like that. Yep. And that's what we get. He just gives us this little lamplight. It might be a next step. And then we have to have faith and we have to trust in his plan for us when we live in those places of unknowing. But in that moment that I turned off my flashlight and darkness surrounded us, our destination was really, really far off. You could see a little light in the window of the house where we were going. But between me and that, darkness except for Ron's light. And at one point, I would get far away from him, and then I would have to catch up with him. But I followed, right? And wherever Ron's light led me, because I kept my flashlight off because I wanted to see what it would be like, and I followed. And sometimes the pace was really steady, because when we would go through the woods, this path, and sometimes it slowed down, and sometimes our pace was faster, but it was always best when I would stay really near to that light right there, to Ron, my guide. But when I was at my own pace, because I kind of loiter and look and pause and go my own way, I lost pace with Ron's guiding light. And then I had to work a lot harder to get back on track and to get back to his light and to his path. Otherwise, I was really, it was dark. I was lost. And at times, the path would change direction. It was steeper or more uneven. And it was even more important then for me to walk closer and closer to Ron. Literally, I don't even know if he knew. I was about two steps behind him. I don't even know he could tell. But I had to get that close so that I can follow that light so that I wouldn't lose my footing and stumble. And when I actually stayed closer to him, I felt like more comfortable and I felt safer, especially in the dark of night. And as I followed him literally the whole way home, I felt assured through the strength and the pace and the confidence of Ron. One, because I do know him, and two, because he is Ron Bakeman, and he's got the light, that there was just no fear. I actually could live in a delight of being in that closeness with him. So I was in awe once more at how God, he provides these teachable moments when we kind of least expect them, and how he could use that image of Ron to represent himself. So Ron, literally, he had no idea that God was using him, but he did make a Bible verse come to life to teach me the importance of staying closely connected to him at all times. So that 3 a.m. walk became kind of a special travel companion, peaceful time back, being able to walk with me and my buddy. So as I thought about what happens when I don't follow close to God's guiding light or when I want to see the entire game plan, who doesn't, not just the next step. So these things kind of came to mind. When I'm in that place, I usually live more from a place of fear of the unknowing rather than a peaceful place in the unknowing. And then I have more difficult time, what I call trusting and leaping. Right? Just jump out there and trust that whatever's supposed to happen, like he's going to guide you. Kind of the whole surrendering my will to his will for me. I've got to remind myself that many times that he's been my rock, so I have to think back to the past where he's been there, and shown that he's trustworthy. And that he's got his mighty grace and his power and his love, and it's going to be there. And then, oh gosh, when I try to be in control of the plan and wanting so much to know what's next, what I need to do, and what's next on the agenda, when I'm living from that place, I am totally not living in the present moment. I am missing what's going on right now. And there are so many things in our present moment that we're supposed to experience that when we're worrying about all those other things, we've left it and we've lost those moments. And when I forget to put God first and I let other activities and other people's wants and desires become greater priority than God, I also lose out. And this one is so hard to do. And in our church-wide study, this one is actually what we talked about this week, about being able to find that balance of serving and giving and being able to make sure you're spending time with God too. And God misses out when I don't spend time with him because I'm not becoming the person then that he had designed me to be. And in those times when I choose not to lean on and connect with God consistently, it can impact all the people that I come in contact with because my choices at that point become less healthy and holy than they are when I do stay connected to him. And I start moving away from keeping my focus Christ-centered of loving God and loving others and loving myself. So in the book, The Will of God, which is guess what it's about? It's about the will of God and the ways that God guides us. And the best part when we were looking at that book was that God can start with us anywhere we are. And not like we have to reach a certain echelon before he's ready to meet us. We just dive right on in as far as learning to discern his will and walk along, let him walk with us. And it's through our deepening of our relationship with God that then we become better able to discern his will for us. There's a lot of tools and methods that we use, and they can vary from every single person and even within our own life, depending on what season that we're in, to be able to develop that closer relationship with him. But it's mainly just about setting aside time regularly to meet with him more on a relational basis and to pray with and to honor him. So the book, it talked about six, what they call signposts, that give us some kind of indication that we are learning to discern God's will. Right? Because we kind of want to know if we're moving along that way. So one is your conscience. So you start listening to that voice within our heart that says, no, this is right and this is wrong. But you start to actually listen to it instead of second-guessing yourself. The ever-present common sense, using our God-given ability to make judgments. And insight based on thoughtful assessment, right? We just assess the situation and we, instead of act on impulse, right? So then we let our common sense take over. Advice of a friend. So asking a wise friend who can give sound advice, since that person sits outside of the emotional setting that we are in. Me and my friends, we call that having a second brain, because we need a second brain to process things with sometimes. Fourth is reading the Bible and great literature, especially like biography and history, because it's absolutely rare that you're going to find something that you're going through that historically hasn't already happened to where you can gain insight on how it was handled back then. Five is the voice of the church, is actually bringing the problem that you're experiencing to within the church to a thoughtful group of loving people that, again, are outside the situation to help them help you seek the will of God. And then the Holy Spirit, where you're listening to God directly to be able to speak to you. And this takes a lot of just practice to get quiet and be able to feel His presence and His presence and experience His presence. So I got permission to share this, but I'm not going to mention names. But the person was in my healing care group, and it's all about being able to become more adept at being in God's presence and hearing and being with Jesus and all and hearing from Him and all. But this particular person one time in group early on said, I just can't feel God. I just don't feel His presence. I can't experience Him. I don't know where He is. And in that same conversation, she was saying, I was driving today, you know, the little palm leaf made into a cross. So it was hanging up and it fell down on my lap. But I can't see where God is. We're all going, hello. And then she goes, and then I looked over at the radio and Lauren Daigle's Look Up Child was playing on the radio. So we're all going like, hello, that's him. And so she's like, oh, really? And she had this like aha moment. So that was earlier in the healing care group. Well, this summer, she was with me. We were at a seminar. And in that seminar, they had an assignment to go out and ask God what was keeping them most from their healing journey and their journey of growing closer to Him. And to walk around and find, be led to a symbol that represents what it is. She was telling me the next day, she goes, I'm out this park, and it's pristine. There is nothing around. And I'm just kind of looking around going, what is it? What is it? And see, she said that she just stopped, and she's just saying, like, what is it that you want me to see? There's nothing around here. It's clean. She heard Him say, take 20 steps. She's like, what? Take 20 steps. So she did. She went straight ahead, and she took 20 steps. He goes, like, look down, and at her feet, nothing else around, was a burnt stick. Just like a broken off piece of a stick that was burnt. There was no other burnt stick or anything else around. And he was telling her, burnout. You're burning out, right? You're doing so many things, and you're so, like, going all over the place that it's interfering with our connection, right? And, And so she was simply amazed, right? Literally heard Him say 20 steps. And if you want to know how personal a relationship God has with you and how much He knows you, what do you think would happen if my 6'3" son was told to take 20 steps? Would he have stopped where that is? No, because his legs are about this long, right? Or what about like my 5'2" mama? If she would have taken 20 steps, right, she wouldn't have got to that stick. He knew this person so well that 20 steps was going to put her right at that stick. It was amazing. So I would say that she's learning, right, to listen to the Holy Spirit. Right? And it's something that can be learned and worked, because it was simply amazing. So as we then learn to live out of God's will for us and develop a friendship with God, then we find actually this inner peace. And it becomes more at the core of our being. It's from the inside out. And that's what actually helps us through the difficult times, because we know we're going to have the difficult times. But doing the will of God, it does take courage and determination and discipline. But as we seek and we pray and we act on what we know is the will of God, because you do have to kind of act on it, we can then rest assured that we're going to be able to be at peace. And we can remain steadfast in our conviction that God is the author of good. And so we act then rightly, even in the face of grave difficulties, until God's outpouring of goodness can once again be seen and be felt. Because there are times in that in-between that we don't right feel it. It's harder to feel that presence. But we just kind of move through it and wait for it, and it'll come back. And when we discern God's will, ours then is to act. And God's is to give us the courage and the strength enough to do what it is that we must. So my prayer then for each of us is to continue to seek God's presence and to learn to stay close to him as he guides us on those paths so that we can then live from an inner peace that only he can provide.